Alright, so moving along with the 12th principle. So we discussed the general idea of what the main thrust of Mashiach is and why we're hoping for Mashiach, and we discussed the idea of why waiting for Mashiach is in the Ikrim. We discuss whether or not someone is a heretic, is a kofar, if they are not waiting for Mashiach, and why waiting would be part of the essential component of the principle. So we'll talk about the next line of the Rambam here, and just discuss 2 points about, first, just to go through the basics of the topic of the idea of not calculating the redemption. We'll talk about why one would be discouraged or forbidden from calculating when the geula, when the redemption will be, and whether or not such is this how significant of an idea, how severe of an idea this is. So, so I'll just read the Rambam, and then we'll get to the discussion. So the Rambam, so the Shnei Masar Yamos Mashiach. 12th principle is the messianic era, to believe that it will come and it won't be delayed. The Ein Likvor Lozman, says the Rambam, you should not set a time for it. The Lo Lefarish Es HaMikros Kidei Lehotzi Mehen Zman Bo'o, and one should not explain the scriptures about it in such a way as to try and derive from them the time of his coming or of its coming. Amru Chachamim Tipuach Daitan Shel Mechashevei Kitzin, and the Chacham said that the mind of those who calculate the kates, who calculate the end of days, will Tipuach means like will ex- I guess it basically means explode, right? That which is in its simple understanding as a curse. Exactly what it means, we'll maybe discuss a little bit, probably not so much, but basically it doesn't sound like a good thing. Right. So just to report,
In the footnotes, what's it mean? It says Daf Tzadi Zion.
Daf Tzadi Zion and B's is right, the Gemara in Sanhedrin,
Sanhedrin.
Right, which we will see later in our packet. But so just to start, before we get any further, the Rambam here says a person should not set a time for it and should not explain the psukim in such a way to figure it out. The Rambam, in a couple other places in his Igros, writes, but you cannot. It is not possible, says the Rambam, based on a pasuk in Daniel. The pasuk in Daniel says, "Ki sasmim v'chasmim hadavar ad eis kitz," that the matter is sealed and covered until the point of the end, which the Rambam understands that there is no way of knowing. It's not just that a person is not allowed to calculate it, but it's actually impossible, says the Rambam, to actually figure it out. There's the different discussion, the different Rishonim about exactly what the order of how the Geula is going to come. A Navi is going to come before the Geula and explain when the Geula is going to be, exactly how it's going to work. But until that point, that is not just discouraged or prohibited to figure it out, but it's actually not possible to figure it out, says the Rambam. As an interesting aside, the Rambam himself quotes a tradition he had from his grandfather, who had it from his grandfather, from back to, I think, the Gaonim, it says, had a tradition of when Mashiach was going to come, had a Masorah of when Mashiach was going to come. I don't know what year it was. I didn't look it up, but I imagine that it's already passed. I don't know, but either way, it's just an interesting note that the Rambam actually does quote a number of a prediction of when Mashiach is going to come, and we really find, and this is something that we're going to try and that we'll briefly address, is not really our main point. We find throughout the Doros, throughout the generations, that many Gedolim gave predictions of when the Geula was going to come. And I'll try to discuss exactly how that fits with this here. So the Gonim or Sadri Gon.
Doesn't this tie into the whole Shabbatai Tzvi debacle?
Hmm?
Doesn't this tie into the Shabbatai Tzvi debacle, where there were people who approximated the time around when he was living?
Could be. I think there are a lot
and
of...
And also, isn't there a very strong tradition that the world won't go more than 6,000 years?
Yes. Right, the Gemara and Sanhedrin. Alright.
The Gemara and Sanhedrin?
What? The Gemara and Sanhedrin, that says 6,000 years. The years of the world are 6,000 years. But that means that the Mashiach will be no later than 6,000 years.
Well, that's a prediction.
as many people have made predictions. So he is hopeful
that's not. That's not saying. That's not giving a the day when he will come. It's giving that he will not come later than this date, which is a very different matter. Which we'll see. It's actually a significant distinction. Maybe we'll get into that also. But so we'll start at the very beginning. Very good place to start. When you read, you begin with ABC, and when you learn about Mashiach, you begin with Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. Like that? That was a rhyme. You got that? Yeah. So, the pasuk in Habakkuk, which is where the Rambam is, bases this yisod, bases this principle off of, so, says, this is the verse which is the source of the whole idea of that even if Mashiach seems like he's delayed, or even if it's a long time, that you should still wait. So, good morning. We're discussing the idea that a person is not supposed to calculate when Mashiach comes. We're still pretty close to the beginning of the discussion, so I think you should be able to keep up with us. Alright, so basically, this pasuk is the source of that the Rambam brings for the Iker of Mashiach and the fact that he should be waiting for him. So the pasuk says, so the beginning of that pasuk says, Ki od chazon lamoed, vayafeach laketz velo yechazev. That's Ki od chazon lamoed, that there will be a vision of that. Just to read the pasuk, just we'll choose one way, then a number of different mefarshim commentaries about how to read this verse, but Ki od chazon lamoed, there will be a further vision, a nevuah, about the moed, about the appointed time when Mashiach is going to come, v'yafeach laketz v'lo yechazev, and it will open up for the ketz, for the redemption, v'lo yechazev. And also lo yechazev in a number of ways to interpret, but we'll just go with a number of mepharshim say lo yechazev is it will not end, it will not cease, meaning once this redemption comes, it will not go away anymore. Yechazev can also mean it won't be false, it won't fail, right? That at that point it'll surely come, and there's no it won't be anything missing about it. Im yismahama chakelo, if it is, let's call it delayed, or if it's a long time in coming, chakelo, wait for it, kivo yavo, it will surely come, lo ya'acher, it will not be delayed, it will not be late. A lot of things to talk about in this pasuk, we're not going to get into all of them. The discussion of what does it mean, im yismahamea, or im yismahama, which is often translated to mean, if he tarries, which means, you know, if he takes his time. So, bo yavo lo ya'acher, he won't be late. So what does it mean to be mismahama if he's not late? Alright, we'll have a different discussion about what all these things mean, but we're just going to focus on the beginning of the pasuk. But just, it's important to note that these are two halves of the same pasuk. One leads into the other. The first part is, v'yafeach laketz v'lo yechazev, that's the redemption will come, and at that time it'll be revealed, and it won't fail. And then the next part is, im yismama chakelo, that if it's a long time in coming, that you should still wait for it. So, the Gemara and Sanhedrin, on this first half of this pasuk, says, if you have a little bracket, this is Sanhedrin Sadi Zayin Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, it starts with interpreting the first part of the pasuk, the first few words, and then says, "My vayafeach laketz v'lo yichaziv." What does it mean, "V'lo yafeach laketz v'lo yichaziv"? Amar Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Tipach atzman shel mechashvei kitzin. That the word atzman either means the bones or the person, the self of those who calculate the kates should explode. Shahayu omrim, that they would say, kevan shehegia es hakates velo ba, that once the kates has come, once the appointed time that they've calculated has come, velo ba, and Mashiach didn't come, shuv eino ba, he's not going to come anymore, right? The time passed, he didn't come, must be he's not coming. So that's, the person should not do that. Ella, rather, chakelo, you should wait for him. Shenehemar im yismama chakelo. If he's a long time in coming, still chakelo, still you should wait for him. Gemara goes on, but we're going to stop there. Gemara goes on and says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also waiting for Mashiach to come, is also anxious about Mashiach's arrival. Right, so the Gemara here clearly puts that hemshech, that conceptual link between the two halves of the pasuk here. The Gemara here puts very clear that you should not calculate the kates; rather, you should be waiting for Mashiach. Because if you calculate the kates, this seems to be the most straightforward interpretation of the Gemara. If you calculate the kates, you calculate the redemption. So then, that time is going to, who says you're going to be right? And according to the Rambam, you won't be right. That was right, we mentioned earlier. The Rambam says it's not possible to know it. So you're going to get it wrong. And then the time that you calculate is going to come and go. And then you're going to say, okay, the time passed, I guess Mashiach's not coming, and you won't be waiting. You'll no longer be waiting for Mashiach. Don't calculate it, rather wait for him, right? That's the Gemara. Could read the Gemara to be a looser link to say, you shouldn't be calculating it. Don't try and figure it out. Don't try and be such a chacham. Just wait. Like, what do you need to know for? Just wait, right? That the Gemara is not necessarily saying that, that don't calculate it because that's going to affect your waiting. Rather, you should wait. It's saying, don't calculate it. Calculating it is not going to do you any good. It's just going to be a bad thing. Just, be a simple, you're just supposed to wait for Mashiach. Don't try and figure it out on your own. But that's the Gemara. Rashi here, which we will get back to. Rashi says, one short Rashi, underlined in the left column, Vayafeach laketz, Tipach nafsho shel mechashev haketz, that the nefesh, let's call it the soul of the one who calculates the kates, should explode, should pop. Shelo hayalo lechazev velomar kevan sheigia, because he should not have been mechazev, he should not have been crooked or twisted and said that once the time arrived and didn't come, he's no longer coming. So that's the basics of the original source material of where does this idea come from. So that's the basic background information that the Pasuk in Habakkuk, which says don't calculate the kates, rather wait for Mashiach. The Gemara here in Sanhedrin makes the drasha. So the first thing I want to talk about is the Rambam put this in the 12th Ikar. The Rambam put this idea of not calculating the Geula into the 12th principle. We've mentioned before that there are things in the Ikrim which are not part of the Ikar, which are relevant, they are true, and they are part of the whole picture, but there are details that are part of the Rambam's list of Ikrim, which are not themselves Ikrim, which are not are themselves an essential piece of information. I think the example we gave of that was in the 7th Ikar, where it says that Hashem spoke to Moshe mibein hakruvim. Now, when Hashem spoke to Moshe, that his nevuah came mibein hakruvim, came from Hashem speaking between the kruvim. That piece of information That's true. That was when Hashem spoke to Moshe was from between the cherubim. That's not like the fundamental point that the Rambam is making. And in fact, when Hashem told Moshe that they should make cherubim, it was not from between the cherubim, right? So it wasn't. That's not an essential point of the truth of Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah. It's just once the Rambam is telling you the Ikkar, he'll tell you all of the. He'll give you some of the information to fill it out. So there are some things in the Ikkarim which are not themselves Ikkarim, and there are some things which, you know, there's one central theme of the Ikkar which you know has different components to it. So how important is this idea, this not calculating the Kates? Is someone who calculates the Kates, are they a kofar? So we're going to first try and go through the Rambam. You know, part of this, I don't have all of the Rambams here because I was unable to get the copies of some of the things that I wanted to get, but we'll just see first some of the sources in the Rambam. So the Rambam, we know it has in Hilchos Tshuva, has his parallel list of the Ikrim in the negative formation, as the don'ts, right? Here in Chelek, it's the what you should believe. In Hilchos Tshuva, it's what not to deny. It's the phrase in the negative. So the Rambam has in Perek Gimel Halacha Vav has a whole list of different people who are Ein Lahem Chelek L'Olam Haba. And now here in the Rambam here in Hilchos Tshuva, it's a very general list. It does not go into a lot of detail here. Certainly all of the things that he lists here, he goes on at a much more length in our Parish of Mishnah and Sanhedrin here. But the Rambam here, when he says the idea of where this Ikkar makes its way into Hilchos Tshuva, is just with the three words, HaKofrim B'Bias Goel. Someone who denies that Mashiach is coming, right? So the Rambam here doesn't mention any detail. Doesn't mention that if you're not waiting for him. Doesn't mention if you calculate the time of his arrival. He doesn't mention anything other than. But that's the way the Rambam phrases it in Hilchos Tshuva is just Kofrim B'Bias Goel. You deny that the Mashiach is going to come, right? So within that, so if someone was, you know, calculated the Geula, and they're still, you know, they say he's going to come, he's just going to come at a certain time. So according to that, he would come at that, would not be a kofar. But like we said, it's not so conclusive because the Rambam there is a very vague kind of paragraph heading kind of list. Skip to the very end of the Mishneh Torah. This is the last chapter of the Rambam. Of the Yad HaChazaka, Hilchos Mamrim, Hilchos Malachim, Perak Yud Beis. So at the end of Halacha Beis, so Halacha Beis is where the Rambam discusses we saw this, I think, 2 weeks ago, where the Rambam says that there's different, we have different sources, people say different things about what exactly is going to happen when Mashiach comes. And different people say different things, and he says there's not necessarily a clear mesorah on these things, and therefore different chachamim had different opinions, and it's unclear. We don't exactly know what it's going to be. And he actually brings over here the what we mentioned before, that these things are all stuma meitzah and neviim, that these things are all very hidden, even from the neviim. They don't really know so clearly. So the Rambam says at the very end of the halacha here, he says olam lo yisasek adam b'divrei ha'hagados vo yarech b'divrei midrashos hamoros b'inyanam elu v'kiyoti behen, that a person should not involve themselves in the agadic material, in the homiletic material, and not to spend a lot of time on the midrashos, the midrashic material, which is said on these topics of the world to come, of the future, of Mashiach and Olam Haba, and these types of things. V'lo yasimam iker, and you should not, you know, put them as, like, not give them such primary significance. She'enam levi'en lo lide ava v'lo lide yirab. Because they don't bring a person to Ahavas Hashem, they don't bring a person to Yiras Hashem. These are not things that are, you know, they're interesting, they're captivating, but they don't bring a person to a higher place. says the Rambam, V'chein lo yachshov hakitzin. And similarly, a person should not calculate the kates, should not calculate the time of redemption. Amru chachamim tipuach daitan shamachash v'kitzin. Ella yechake v'yamin b'chlal adavar k'moshabaranu. Rather, you should just wait, and you should believe the general idea that we explained, that the world's going to be full of knowledge of Hashem, and there will be peace, and the things that we know in a more general sense are true. We don't know exactly, you know, if the fruit are going to be bigger or they won't be bigger, and if the, you know, all of the, which things are literal and which things are an analogy, and if it's an analogy, what's in it, or if it's a metaphor, what's it a metaphor for, and all these things. Okay, we don't know, but we know the world's going to be a better place. It's going to be peace. We're going to be able to sit and learn Torah. We're going to be able to serve Hashem. And that's just, we're waiting for the bichlal inyan, the general idea of exactly what's going to be. So the Rambam here has this lo liachshov hakitzin, do not calculate the kates. The Rambam here has this in the end of halacha beis of chapter 12 of Hilchos Malachim, where the Rambam in this halacha was basically saying that, basically, to put it very plainly, the Rambam was giving good advice. The Rambam was saying it's not a good idea to be so focused on the details of what's going to be at the time of Mashiach. Is it going to be this way or that way? The Midrashim, the Agados, that they're all very, very cryptic, and we don't exactly know what's going to be. And that's not the main point. You should just be, you know, generally waiting. And the Rambam adds on, and similarly, don't calculate the Geula. So the Rambam here seems to be putting those two in the same sentence, and even saying similarly, right? Is connecting the two. It's implied from here, to me at least, that in its basic essential point, the idea of calculating the kates is not, it's not, you're not a kofer for doing that. It's not a productive thing to do. It might bring you to a bad place, it might have negative consequences, but calculating the kates in and of itself is not, you're not a kofer for doing that. It's because it will, you know, it can lead to the what the Gemara said, that a person's not going to wait, or whatever it is, that it's just, it's not a productive thing to do, it's a bad idea, it's a risky idea, so therefore, don't, just wait, just, you know, believe generally that it's going to happen, and just wait. So the Rambam here implies that you're not a kofer, you're not a heretic, for if someone calculates the kates. It might be listed in the Ikrim, because it is conceptually connected to the idea of waiting for Mashiach is obviously, you know, you're very linked to not calculate it, rather to wait. But it's not an essential point like this that you are a kofer, that you're a heretic if you calculate the geula. So, I want to discuss, yes, somewhat briefly, the basically three ideas that the Rishonim come out from the Rishonim about what the prohibition of calculating the kates is, of calculating the geula. What is the prohibition and why is it prohibited? So the Rambam, we saw here, the Rambam is more explicit about this in several of his letters, of his Igros Teman, and Igeres Hatria, Igeres Teman and Igeres Hatria. I should actually just say that if we really wanted to go completely through the Rambam's approach to both the 12th and the 13th principle, there are several hundred pages that the Rambam wrote a letter to Teman, called Igeres Teman, and a letter that he wrote to some of the Chachamim of, I think, of Carbancia or France, and that called Igeres Hatria, where the Rambam discusses at great length this idea of Mashiach, Tzias HaMesim, Olam Haba, and all these things. But obviously in our little 45-minute classes, it would take us several years to go through all of that, and therefore we're going to try and just like pick out some pieces.
I have time.
Okay. But the Rambam here referenced this, the Rambam there, in Igeres Hatria, basically spells out that the problem with calculating the kates is a problem of at that point that you're not waiting. That if you calculated the cates and if you calculate the cates to be far off in coming, so now you're not waiting because it's not coming for a while anyways. If you calculate the cates to be near, and you're going to be wrong and you're going to miss it, and you're going to be wrong, it's going to go by, and you're going to say, okay, it already went, there's no point in waiting anymore. It's going to lead to not waiting. And that is very significant. We saw that the Rambam puts waiting for Mashiach is part of the Ikkar. The Rambam puts, as part of his essential description of what the Ikkar of Mashiach is involves waiting for him. Right, we discussed the significance of that, but not to get back into exactly that point, but if a person, in essence, calculating the cates is not in and of itself a terrible thing tantamount to heresy. But the consequences, the risks of that which the Chachamim didn't want to happen, that which you're putting at risk, that they told you not to do it because of, that is a dire consequence. A person who calculates the cates and therefore is not waiting for Mashiach, is not looking forward to Mashiach, so that person is could be a question of heresy. Now, I just want to point out, just to go one step further, we mentioned that that there are really two ways you can understand what is the idea of waiting for Mashiach. We mentioned two approaches about this. Is waiting for Mashiach mean, right, for example, the Rambam says let's take the language of the Ani Mamin, just to take it as a simple representation of the Rambam, just for simplicity's sake for a moment, that Ani Mamin Rav Moshe Shlema, the Vias HaMashiach, the Achal Pisha Yisma Mea Im Kozeh Achak Elo B'chol Yom Sheyavo, that even though he may be long in coming, Im Kozeh, even so, Achak Elo, I shall wait for him B'chol Yom, every day Sheyavo, that he should come. That every day, is every day describing my waiting, or is every day describing his coming? Meaning, am I waiting for him every day that he should come, or am I waiting for him that every day he should come, or that any day that he should come? Is my emunah that any given day is the day which Mashiach is going to come? And if you ask me, is Mashiach going to come today? My answer must be yes. Or is it that Mashiach is going to come eventually? Every day I'm looking forward to it. I am anticipating, and I am eager for his arrival at every moment, but not necessarily that I feel that every moment is the moment of his arrival, right? And we discussed, there are two opinions, there are two approaches in the Mefarshim about that. I tried to present it with a slight leaning towards the second way, which is the way that that I think is more correct, that not necessarily that we believe at every moment is the moment Mashiach is going to come, but rather that at every moment I feel a lack without living in a world without Mashiach, without that open revelation of Hashem's rulership. But that makes a big nafkamina, that makes a big practical application in our discussion here also. Because if I calculate the cates, I calculate the redemption, and I say the redemption is going to be 200 years from now, right? So now for the next 200 years, I'm not waiting, meaning I'm not expecting that Mashiach is coming today. But I am, in anticipation, I am saying, you know what, I feel a lack, I want Mashiach, right? So that person, according to one of the approaches we just said, is a heretic. He's saying Mashiach's not coming tomorrow, right? But according to the other approach, nobody said you have to say Mashiach's coming tomorrow. You just have to say that I can't wait for Mashiach. The world without Mashiach is not a world that I want to be in, but I didn't say Mashiach, I don't have to say he's coming tomorrow. Whenever he's coming, I feel a lack without him here. I know, I happen to know, based on my calculations, that he's not coming for another 7 years. So, but I can't wait for those 7 years to go by. So I make a big ramification for certainly a person shouldn't be calculating the cates, but how bad is it? So if according to that path, if a person calculates the cates and says it's in the distant future and now isn't expecting Mashiach to come tomorrow, so at the end of the day, he's still not a heretic according to that approach, as long as he still feels the lack of Mashiach. That's all within the Rambam. Now, I just want to point out, pause here for a moment. We started out and we said that many of the Gedolim throughout the generations did calculate the Geula, right? We can understand at this point, we could stop and we could say, how could they do that? Because calculating the Geula in and of itself is not really, the problem is not calculating itself. The problem is what it leads to. And the Rambam actually specifically discusses regarding Rav Sajigon, who did calculate the Geula, who gave some calculation. The Rambam actually says that he did it l'shem shemayim. He did it because there were people who were becoming dejected and despondent that, you know, the terrible situation that Klal Yisrael was in, the low level of the Jewish people. And in order to encourage them, he gave them a calculation of when Mashiach was going to come, of something to look forward to. So he wasn't doing it to take away people's hope of Mashiach. He was doing it to increase people's hope of Mashiach. But the whole reason not to do it is because it's you're going to remove people's expectation of Mashiach. So he was doing it, not something that everyone should do every day, but he had a specific situational circumstance in which it was necessary. But that at that point, it's not unnecessary. But so the Malvim talks about this, that if someone were to give a calculation of the case as an intellectual exercise, right? I'm going to try and figure it out because, you know, I'm interested to know, right? Which is kind of the point of the Rambam that we just saw, that these things are all not ikkar. They're not primary importance. Don't spend too much time on it. Chazal said this, Chazal said that. This might be true, that might be true. If a person would just, as you know, as a point of interest, want to calculate the case. You're writing your Pirush, right? Corey, Rabbi Corey Myers is writing Chidushei Reb Corey on Sefer Daniel, and he gets to the Psukim about the Geula, and he wants to write his Pshat, right? He's not going to skip those Psukim. So he writes his Pshat, and he calculates that the Geula is going to be next Tuesday, right? Right? And
you're anticipating.
What happens when it comes and goes?
So as long as he's just doing it as, you know, this is just my shot in the psukim, I'm not betting the barn on this one. This is just how my intellectual exercise in trying to figure out what the psukim mean, but I'm not, you know, giving any significance, or I'm not relying on that. So there would be nothing wrong with that, according to this. The whole problem, it's not an intrinsic problem of calculating the Geula. It's a problem of what it leads to, and therefore, if I do it without assigning it any significance, I'm not saying, and based on this is when I'm going to expect Mashiach to come. This is just, you know, I'm just going to give it a shot to try and figure it out. But that wouldn't be a problem. My father-in-law has told me that he has his calculation of when. He hasn't told me what it is, but he said that he has it all worked out. He said he understands. He's, you know, doesn't know ultimately, but he said he has his shot in the psukim of when he feels the Geula is coming. Okay, so it's his shot in the psukim. He's not, you know, if it doesn't happen then, so he's going to say, okay, so I guess my shot was wrong, right? Not, you know, so doing something like that would not be a problem because it's not an intrinsic problem of calculating the Geula. Rashi, that we saw, Rashi on the Gemara Sanhedrin, and Rashi in another place says it the same thing again, seems to emphasize it's not just thinking about when the Geula is, it's not just making the Cheshbon, making the calculation, but it's saying it. It's basically making that announcement of this is when Mashiach is coming, and if he doesn't come then, so then, you know, that's it, right? Yeah. So it's the mechazev. It's basically creating that mitzvah, telling people that this is when Mashiach has come, and that's the deadline, and that's what we should. That's the day to wait for. The problem is, again, becomes not an intrinsic problem of trying to figure it out, but a problem of that you are creating a situation in which people are no longer waiting for Mashiach.
You'll lose faith because
exactly. You're creating a situation where you are loosening, weakening the faith of other people, which can lead to, right, I should really go back a step, this is true in Rashi and in the Rambam, that which I said, that if you calculated Mashiach becoming in 200 years, that it's, you know, really not necessarily such a problem. If you're waiting, because it's coming in 200 years, right, so you're still waiting. What if you calculated the Mashiach was coming yesterday? Well, that's a problem, right? I mean, aside from the point we just made about the intellectual calculation, but if you were calculating it sincerely, and you calculated it, and according to your calculation, it's in the past, that will be a problem, according to all opinions, that now you're no longer waiting. If you're I'm no longer looking forward to it, because I don't think it's going to happen, because I calculated that it was supposed to be 5 weeks ago, and it didn't happen. So I'm no longer looking forward to it. I lost hope, right? So that would be that would be a problem. But making a calculation, a purely intellectual calculation, which I don't tell anyone else because I don't I'm not assigning it the strict significance, that's not going to be a problem. One last approach is the approach of the Ramban in the Sefer HaGeula. In chapter 4 of his Sefer HaGeula, the Ramban there writes something very interesting. I can't tell you exactly how this works, because to me there seems to be a little bit of a catch-22 in it. But I'll tell you what the Ramban says. The Ramban says that the prohibition of calculating the Geula is because the Geulas is so long. Because the Geulas is so long, if somebody calculates the Geula, and it's going to be a long time, people are going to despair. They're going to get despondent. If you tell them the Geula is going to be in another 1,400 years, that's depressing, right? So a person should not calculate the Geula, because you're going to cause people to despair. It's going to be so far off in the future that it's just going to create, you know, bad feelings. And says the Ramban, therefore, when Mashiach is close in coming, when it's almost time for him to come, then it's permitted to calculate the time of his arrival. Because at that point it's encouraging. Look how soon it is. The catch 22 that I don't really know exactly how it works out is, until you calculated it, you don't know how far off it is. So you don't know whether or not it was close enough that you're allowed to calculate it until after you calculated it. So I don't exactly, maybe it could be that it goes with the Rashi about publicizing it. Maybe calculating it for yourself just as an intellectual exercise is okay. But you know, telling everyone about it, making a big deal about it, that would only be okay once it's not so far off. But a very interesting Ramban. The Ramban writes that once the Geula is not so far off, right, at the time of Habakkuk, right, the time before the second Beis Hamikdash even, so calculating the final Geula, that's, you know, it's going to be over 2,000 years since then, right? So that would be a big problem. But once it's not so far off in the future, once it's late enough in history that it's not going to be so depressing to know how far off the Geula is, so the Ramban says that at that point, that it would be mutter to calculate the Geula. There's a trend of thought, I never really got to the bottom of this, but it's very common among great Jewish leaders today, this idea that our generation is the generation of Mashiach. So I don't know exactly how you define generation in that, but they often talk about this ikva de Mashiach, that we have, you know, the footsteps of Mashiach are already, you know, we can hear them in our generation. So according to the Ramban, it would seem that there should be no problem today for anyone to calculate the Geula, because if we are, you know, on the threshold of the Geula, so according to the Ramban, you're allowed to calculate the Kates at that point. There's no reason not to calculate the Kates at that point. But basically, just to sum up with today's class, I guess, is a little bit different, more of a survey of the material here, but just that basically we have this idea that calculating the Kates is not a good idea. That idea,
but do it anyway.
Does not seem to be that it's an inherent problem, and a person is not a heretic by definition for doing that. And the problem with it is what it leads to. It can lead to either rejection or despondence. It can lead to not waiting for Mashiach, either because you've lost faith or because it's so far off in the future that you're going to despair of it. But you leave out that problem, and it's not inherently a problem. Therefore, you find Gedolim throughout the generations who did calculate the Geula. We started off, just to repeat, the Rambam says it's futile, it's impossible to get it right, there's no point in doing it, but that it's something which is, the Rambam phrases it in the Yad Chazaka, the Rambam phrases it as basically a bad idea. It's a bad idea to spend too much time focusing on all the midrashos about the Timos Mashiach. It's also a bad idea to spend a lot of time focusing on when he's going to come, because what does it matter? You should be just waiting. You're waiting anyways. So what does it matter when it's coming? If you do it, with, you know, just as an intellectual exercise. So it's not really a problem. But says the Rambam, there's more productive things to do with your time. There are many other aspects of Torah which a person can spend his time on. If you need something to do, I could give you a list. Right? So that, but there's the significance of this line of the Rambam of not calculating the kates is really a facet of waiting for Mashiach, but is not in it's not its own idea. It's only in conjunction with the significance and the centrality of waiting for Mashiach that not calculating the kates becomes something of significance. All right.